So we're in the very bottom of Tes Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara quotes Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Yitzchak Shmuel Bar Marsa, Gadol Talmud Torah Yosef Mikiravim. That's right up there, I believe, right? Yeah, okay. So before we had mentioned how Torah was greater than Beis Hamikdash, now we're mentioning that Torah is even greater than Kiravim. Shekol Osan Shanim Shahaya Yaakov Avinu Beis Aver Lo Nenosh. When Yaakov Avinu was learning in Beis Aver, he went off, he had to leave his parents, Yitzchak and Rivka. So he was punished that those years that he had not been performing Kibbutz Avim, he was punished that Yosef would be away from him. But in terms of the calculations, the time he spent learning the Beis Medrash, that wasn't part of the calculation, because it's greater to learn than to perform Kibbutz Avim. This happens to be, unfortunately, a very common question. You know, the child wants to learn, the parents don't want him to learn, what's the best approach to take? I think Mar is going to prove this to us. It's also Rashi al Torah, which says as follows. Damar Mar. Mar tells us, Lama nimnu shnosav shel Yishmael. Why does the pasuk tell us the amount of years of Yishmael? And frankly, we don't really care how old Yishmael was. There must have been a greater point for this. So Gemara said, right, Rashi says, top line, says, Malanu lumnos shnos harsham. What was the need to count the years of Rasha? Now, the Gemara doesn't explain why, Yishmael, in the end of the day, did tshuva. In the end, that's the Gemara says in Yuma, that you can name your child Yishmael. There's a Tana Rabbi Yishmael, because in the end he did tshuva. I'm not sure exactly how that fits into here.
I think that last person who was called Yishmael is the one who killed Gedaliah, Ben Ashikan.
But there's a Tana, called Rabbi Yishmael.
Right.
So
that was after.
Yeah, it was after.
After that happened, I think people stopped. It wasn't such
a
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, interesting. And nowadays, I don't know anybody named Yishmael, at least any Jews named Yishmael. So the Gemara says, I don't know any Arabs either, but the Gemara says, Lama nimnu shnosav shel Yishmael, kidei liyachas behen shnosav shel Yaakov. It was ordered to help the go through the calculation to know how old, to help calculate the years of Yaakov. Dichsev ve'elu shnei chayi Yishmael, these were the years, the age of Yishmael, ma'as shana v'shloshim shana v'sheva shanam. He lived till he was 137 years old. So let's figure all the calculations down. Kama kashus Yishmael Yitzchak. We know Yishmael was older than Yitzchak, but how much kashus? How much older was Yishmael than Yitzchak? Our beiser shnein. He was 14 years older than Yitzchak. How do we know? Dichsev v'Avram ben shmonim shana v'sheishanim. He was 6. Beledes Hagar es Yishmael l'Avram. When his wife Hagar had given birth to Yishmael, so Avram was 86 at Yishmael's birth. Uksiv v'Avram ben ma'as shana. He was 100 years old. Behivali lo es Yitzchak. We know when he gave birth to Yitzchak, when Sarah had Yitzchak, that's a difference of 14 years. So you see, when Yitzchak was born, Yishmael was already 14 years old. Uchsiv then writes, Yitzchak ben Shishim Shana Biladas Osam. Now Yitzchak was 60 years old when he gave birth to Rivka gave birth to the twins of Yaakov and Esav. So Bar Kama Hava Yishmael Kedi Yisrael Yaakov. How old was Yishmael when Yaakov was born? So since he's 14 years older than Yitzchak, so Bar Shivim Varbam, he must be 14 years older, he makes him 74 years old. Kama Paishin Mishne. How many years do we have? We've not calculated from his life yet. So what's 137 was the total life of Yishmael, minus the 74 that we know. Shitin Ushlas, that remains 63 years left of his life. Okay? Now, Tanya, the Brisa tells us, Haya Yaakov Avinu B'shah Shinis Baruch Me'aviv Ben Shishim Ushlos Shoshana. He was 63, Yaakov was 63, the exact age that Yishmael died. He was 63 when he got a bracha from his father Yitzchak, and he left. Uvo Baperk Mes Yishmael, in that very time period, he died. Yishmael died, that is. So again, Yishmael was 74 when Yaakov was born, and 63 years later, Yishmael died, and that was at the age of 63 is when Yaakov got a bracha and ran away. Duchsiv Vayar Esav Kivar Veyach. Esav saw that Yaakov had given a bracha, so Yitzchak rather gave a bracha to Yaakov. Achos Nevios. And when that happened, when Yaakov left, it says in the pasuk that Esav went off to marry the Yishmael, who went to Yishmael, and he married the daughter of Yishmael, who was Machlas, who happened to also be the sister of Nevios. So what's the significance of this? Who she was, who he married. Once we're told that this lady Machlas was the daughter of Yishmael, well, we certainly know she's also the sister of Nevios, because Nevios was a daughter of Yishmael as well. So what's the significance of that? So Gemara says that Milamed Shekidsha Yishmael Umes tells us that Yishmael was still alive at the marriage of Esav to his daughter Machla. So that's why it says Bas Yishmael. Yishmael was alive. But Yisaya Nevayah Sachiyah, so the Kedushin, the initial marriage, took place with Yishmael. But the Nisu in the next stage, which oftentimes took many months later, the Yisiyah is Nevayah Achayah. It was her brother, Nevayah, who had officiated the marriage. So that's the significance of, yes, we know the lineage that Nevayah was a son of Yishmael, and also, therefore, the brother of Machlas. But we're mentioning both that she's the daughter of Yishmael and the sister of Nevayah to tell you that Yishmael did the first stage of the Kedushin, and then later on, Nevayah did the Nisun. That teaches us that during that year, Yishmael had died. So now, so then, Shitin Vishlas Var Beser Ad Mishyal Yosef. So Yaakov was 63 when he left his father's house. And we know there are 14 years that he worked in Lavan's house until finally Yosef was born. So that gives us Hashivim Vishivim. That gives us 77 years of Yaakov's life. Uksiva Yosef ben Shloshim Shana Ba'amdol Lefnei Paro. And Yosef was 30 years old when he got down to Mitzrayim in front of Paro. Ha'mer Ushra. So that makes Yaakov at that point 107 years old.
When he stood in front of Paro.
Yeah. So at that age, we know Yaakov was at least 107 years old. Because again, he was 70, he was at least 63 plus 14. He was at least 77, at least, when Yosef was born. And another 30 years later, that makes 107. Now, there's a Shav, the Shava, the Sarta, the Kafna. There were 7 years of plenty, and then there were 2 years of the famine. That adds another 9 years. Ha Me'a V'shitzar, that brings us to 116 years old for Yaakov. Further, it says, V'yomer Paro el Yaakov kama yimei shnei yechayecha. So when Yaakov finally went down to meet Paro, Paro asked him, how old are you? So, V'yomer Yaakov el Paro v'yimei shnei migurai shloshim u'mashana. My years have been 130 years. Me'a v'shitzar haven, what do you mean? We did the whole calculation, it was only 116. How could he tell Paro he was 130? What happened to the 14 years that are lost? El shmamina arba esh shnin dehava beveis aver. It must have been 14 years he hid out learning in the base measures of aver. Lo chashulu, that was not part of the calculation. Ditanya. Now we have Bryce that says all this. Haya Yaakov beveis aver mitum mutman arba esh shana. He was hiding in the base measures for 14 years learning. The aver mace aver died. Lachashiyar Yaakov avinu laram harnaram sheshanam. Now after aver died, 2 years after Yaakov had gone down to Aram Naharaim. Yetz Misham uvalol Aram Naharaim. So Yaakov had left there and went to Aram Naharaim. Nimkshek she'amon al ha-be'er ben shivim v'sheva shana. Turns out when he went to the be'er, where he finally saw Rachel at the be'er, Yaakov was a total of 77 years old. Okay, so that's the Brisa that tells us explicitly that he had hid out learning 14 years in the base Medrash of Aver. Okay, so now all we proved that he spent 14 years there, but what we haven't proved yet was, how do we know he was not punished for the lack of kibbutz ein that he wasn't able to do? So the Gemara now tells us that umunelam de lo miyanish, how do we know that he was not punished for this 14 years? I mean, he left for many, many years, but one out of those 14 years. So the Gemara says, Tanya, nimsa Yosef shapirish me'aviv esim ushtaim shana. Turns out that Yosef had left his father for 22 years. Kishem shapirish Yaakov avinu me'aviv. So just like Yaakov had separated from his father, Yitzchak, for 22 years. The Yaakov tlasim v'shita havyan. Yaakov was 36 years old when he separated from his father. So Ella Arbesa Dehave Beis Aver Lo Chashivlu. So he was away for 36 years. Why not? Why don't we count 36? Why is it only 22? So it must be the 14 years he spent in the Beis Aver was not calculated. So 36 minus 14 leaves us with the 22 years that he was punished for not being mechabit his parents. So too, Yosef was away from him for 22 years. That was his punishment. Now, so at the end of the day, the base Lavan Esim Ishin Haven. So it was he was away from his parents only 20 years, not 22 years, it turns out, if you do some of the calculations. So the Gemara says, El Mishum Dishtahi Ba'orcha Dehartin Shanim, because through all the traveling that kept him on the road for a while, that totaled 2 years. The time, that's a price we said above. Yotze Me'aram V'Naraim Uvalo L'Sukis V'Asalo Sham Shmona Eser Chodesh. When he left from Aver, he went to Aram Naraim. From there, he went to Sukkos. He was in Sukkos for 18 months. Shenem Arba Yaakov Nasa Sukkos of even Labais Lemukne Asa Sukkos. And Yaakov had built a sukkah, and he stayed and built a house in this place. This is how the Torah tells us. The Torah says the three Gimel Regalim are connected to Gimel Avos. Yaakov's connected Sukkos, and this is the pasuk that we know Yaakov's connected Sukkos. This is what the Torah writes. Anyway, so he spent 18 months in Sukkos, who were Beis El, Asa Shisha Chadashim, and then he spent 6 months in Beis El. Vikiv Zvachim, he was Makiv Karbanos. So those are 2 years he was on the Derech. 20 years he was actually in the Beis Lavam. That totaled 22 years. Hadron Alach Megillah Nikreis. That concludes our first par. Beautiful. Okay, now we're halfway through the Masech, more than halfway through the Masechta. Okay. New par. Hakoris Megillah Lemafrei Lo Yatzim. The person who reads Megillah out of order, he jumps around, he reads the third parak, then the first parak, then the eighth parak, then the sixth parak, jumps out of order. The Mishnah tells us he is not Yatzim. Kora Alpeh, person who reads it Baal Peh without looking inside. Kora Targum, where he reads the Targum of it as opposed to the Hebrew that's found there. B'chalashon, he reads in any language, Lo Yatzim. Aval Koran Osa L'Lo'os B'laz, but a person can read in a language that he's familiar with. So, for example, what it meant b'chaloshon, the Gemara is going to explain. B'chaloshon means, if I don't know French, which I don't, I cannot read it in France. In French, I can't read it in Spanish. You could read it in Spanish, I guess, Ricky, but right. I couldn't read it in Spanish, or somebody else couldn't. But what you can do is, if you know the language, then you can read it in the language that you know. So I could read it in English, and you could read it in Spanish. So that's what it means. Again, b'chaloshon lo yata, I can't read it in any language I don't know. About Koran Osa Lilo Azos Belaz. You could read the people, the foreigners who know that language, they could read in that language that they're familiar with. And Valois Shishama Ashuris Yata, a person, a foreigner who does not know Ashuris, which is Hebrew, he can be Yotze with Hebrew even though he doesn't understand. That's the only exception. So again, normally, you can only be Yotze in a language that you understand. Hebrew is the only exception. You can be Yotze even though you do not understand it. Kar Serugin. Say Serugin is, Gemara is going to explain, is where you read and take a pause, and you read and take a pause. It's very choppy reading, despite the fact that you're making all these pauses, that is Yotzei. Right, so Rashi doesn't really explain. The Gemara might explain a little bit. But look at the on the Rashi in the first parak, at the new parak where it begins, the first line of the new parak, Serugin. It's 5 lines from the bottom. It says Serugin, the Gemara mefarish kore me'at, you read a little bit, posek, you stop. V'chozer posek, and then you read again, and you stop, and you read again. It doesn't tell us how long it has to be. The Gemara might address the length of time. And then the Gemara, the Mishnah says, what about a guy who is misnamnin? Misnamnin meaning a guy who's dozing off. The Gemara has this lashon in many places. It's nim velo nim, near velo near, the Gemara always says. The guy's kind of falling asleep, not falling asleep. And the Gemara always tells us it means a guy who, if you ask him a question, he'll be able to answer you give you the answer, but he won't be able to explain the svara. And he'll remember afterwards, after he wakes up, he'll remember that you had this conversation with him. That's the definition of a simnamnim. Haya kosva dorsha magia. Person, let's say, is writing a Megillah. Or he's darshaning, he's learning the Megillah. Or he's magia, he's fixing the Megillah to check for any mistakes. As he's reciting it and writing it at the same time, if he has kavanah to be yotzei the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, he can be yotzei. Vimlo lo yatza, but if he doesn't have kavanah to be yotzei, he has kavanah to fix it, and happens to recite the words, but has no intention of being mekayim the mitzvah, such a person will not be yotzei Mikra Megillah. Haysak suva besam, let's say he uses a certain type of ink. What exactly type of ink it is? This is called, doesn't say what it is. He uses sam, uva sikra, uva kumkun, uva kankunum, different types of material that's used, or ink, al-haniyar, al-daftar, on a piece of paper, or perhaps daftar, I think, is the other side of the cloth that's not supposed to be used. These things are lo yotza, you're not yotze. Ad shetehek suva ashuris al-hasefer ubedio. The Megillah has to be written in Hebrew, has to be written on a sefer, the proper type of cloth, and has to be written with the proper type of ink. Okay. So a lot of things going on in the Mishnah. The Mishnah teaches us how it has to be read. The Mishnah teaches us languages that can be used, and the Mishnah tells us how it's supposed to be written. Those are three elements of the Mishnah. The Gemara tells us, how do we know that Rashi tells us, reading it out of order is not good. So Amar Rava, Damar Kral, the Pasuk tells us, Kich Savam Uchizmanam, like it's written, like the proper time. What does that mean? What's the connection of Ksiva Tizman? Emaz Manam L'mafre Lo Yatza, just like time can't be done out of order, that you can't read the 15th before the 14th, that just is impossible, of course. Af ksavim l'mefrei lo mi lo. So to writing it, literally writing it, can't be done out of order. So Gemara says, wait a second, we're talking about reciting it, not writing it. So Gemara says, mide kriya ksiva. So Gemara says, mide kriya ksiva. Is it saying about kriya? It talks about the way it's supposed to be written, it has to be written in order. But perhaps one could read it out of order. There's a raya. Where says you're right? Hacha d'asiyah ksiva. It has a connection of doing to ksiva. Dichsev Lios Osim Eshne Hayamim. So, wait a second, did I misread that? How do you read that? 1 second. Oh, this Kriya, is Kriya written here? No, Asiya is Kriya, Asiya, not the word Kriya. Asiya is written here. It's not talking about reading it. It's talking about doing. That you're supposed to perform the Asiya, the mitzvahs of Hayom, which is Shalachman, Otzimatan, Savyonim. Those things are supposed to be done in the proper order. But there's no indication of about reading the Mikra Megillah being in the right order. Where it says, okay, you're right. Here is the source that has to be read in the proper order. These days are supposed to be remembered and performed. We're connecting remembering to the doing. Just like we said above, that asiyah is not allowed to be done out of order. So too, the zechira cannot be done out of order. And we know that the word zechira, earlier in the Masechta Torah, says zechira is a reference to remembering the story of Amalek and the stories of Purim. Means by reciting Mikra Megillah is a way of remembering. So we see here zechira, which means Mikra Megillah, cannot be read out of order. Gemara says not only that, not only by Mikra Megillah, but also Tana, V'chein b'halal, v'chein b'kriyashma, u'b'tfilah. So too, these three other mitzvahs cannot be performed out of order, have to be read in the proper order. So Gemara says, halal minalim. How do we know that halal is supposed to be read in the right order of all the of the proclam of Tehillim? So the pasuk says, in halal itself, very apropos for today, unless we're reciting halal, the Gemara says, Rabba Amar, d'chsiv mi'mizvach shemesh amavo. From the sun rising to the sun setting, just like the sun goes in order, so too you have to recite Hallel in order. Rav Yosef brings another pasuk in Hallel. Amar Zeh Hayom Asa Hashem. This is the day that Hashem had created the world. So Rashi explains the second bottom Rashi. Zeh Hayom Kiseid Hayom She'eno Mishtana B'Sha'osav. Just like a day does not change its order, its hours. Lefech Kach Mafrelo. So too a person cannot recite Hallel out of order. And back to the Gemara, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Rav Avya Amar, Yehi Shem Hashem Yivarach, he says, no, Yehi Shem Hashem Yivarach, Hashem should be blessed. The word Yehi means, look at Rashi, Yehi Shem Hashem Yivarach, Kevayaso Yehei Hilul Hashem Uvirchaso Kisidu. Yehei means is. It's supposed to stay, remain as is. The Pesukim have to remain in order. And this, of course, is a Pasuk found in Hallel. Now, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, V'yisema Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Amar Me'acha, he brings another pasuk, Me'ata V'ad Olam, from now until the end of the world, just like now until the end of the world goes in order, the Zman goes in order, so to Hallel, which is the pasuk appears in, is supposed to be read in order. So that's what we know from a few different pasukim, the Hallel is read in order. Now, the Gemara says, what about Kriyashma? How do we know Shema is supposed to be read in order? The Tana, this is the Gemara that appears in Brachos and Sota. Gemara says, Kriyashma B'Kichsava, Divei Rebbe. That Shema is supposed to be read in Lashon Kodesh the way it's written. No other way. You can't recite Shema in English, only in Hebrew. Chacham Omrim, no, B'chol Lashon, you're allowed to read in any language that you want. So, Mikal Makom, my timer, the Rebbe, rather. Why does Rebbe say it could be read only in Lashon HaKodesh? Amarkar, the Pasuk says, V'hayu, B'hav Yason Yehu, V'hayu has to be as is. Since it's written, it's written in Hebrew, in the Torah, so too you have to write it, recite it in Hebrew. Rabbanan, my time, Amar Kra. Why the Rabbanan say you can read it in any, say it in any language you want? Pasuk says, Shema b'chol lashon shata shemel. Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokim, Shem Echad. It says, listen, any language that you could understand and listen to, you could read Shema in. So Rebbe, Nami Huxiv Shema. So what is Rebbe, who says it has to be read in Hebrew, what does he do with the word Shema? Hahu mibaylei hashmil aznecha. You're supposed to recite out loud, Masha tamotzi b'ficha. Shema doesn't mean how you understand it, but it means how you hear it. Has to be heard. You have to say it loud enough that you could hear it. Rabbanan, who hold that you could read in any language, Savri command Amar HaKori Es HaShema, Vlo Hishmil Ozno Yata. So, Rabbanan say, if you read Shema quietly, silently, you are still Yotza. You don't have to actually hear the words that you're reciting. So, therefore, the word Shema is available to Rabbanan to teach me. It doesn't mean to hear, but it means to understand any language you understand. Now, Rabbanan, Nami HaKsiv HaYu. But what are the Rabbanan going to do with the word Vayu, which according to Rabbi Vayu meant that's supposed to be read in the way it is, namely Hebrew? What are the Rabbanan do with the word Vayu? Hahumi Barley, that word's needed to teach me Shalo Yikari Lamafraya, that you can't read out of order. Hayu means has to be as is, has to be the proper order. Any language is okay, but at the psukim, the sentences have to be read in order. And that's where we know that the Shema has to be read in order. Now, continuing on with the discussion, the Gemara says, Rebbe Shalo Yikari Lamafraya Minali. How does Rebbe know that the words of Shema cannot be read out of order? That he gets from the following pasuk, Midvarim Hadvarim. It says Dvarim and it says Hadvarim. Why Hadvarim? Just say Dvarim Eila. Hadvar Melo, the extra hay tells us that it's another drasha to tell me it has to be the dvarm, the words have to be as is in the proper order. What do the Rabban do with the word hadvarim? Dvarm hadvarim lo mashmalu. According to the Rabban, there's no diak to be made, there's no drasha to be made with the word dvarm and hadvarim, that's not an extra hay. So therefore, there's no extra pasuk, extra letter. So Gemara now goes off a little bit of a discussion now. Lema kisava rebi kola Torah kula b'choloshen nemra. Suggest, according to Rebbe, that perhaps the entire Torah should be said in any language. It can be said in any language. Why? If you were to say that the entire Torah, all the parshas, also must be said in Lashon HaKodesh, just like Shema, according to Rebbe. So then, why do you have to say the word Vayu by Shema? Just say, don't say anything, and you'll know. Just like in general, Rebbe holds, the whole Torah is Lashon HaKodesh, rather. So the Shema's. Why do you have to sing out Shema to say Vahayu? It also has to be read in Lashon HaKodesh. It must be, according to Rebbe, therefore, that the rest of the Torah can be read in Chol Lashon. And Shema is the exception because of the word Vahayu. Why is this not true? It's true. You need to teach the word Vahayu. Kasaka Data Chamina, you would think, since the word says Shema, Krabanam, Kasar Chamana Vahayu. I mean, really, Rebbe holds that the rest of the Torah can be read only in Lashon HaKodesh. Shema, you'd have thought, because it says Shema, the word Shema, you would think maybe this is an exception, can be read in any language, like the Rabbanan understand it. That's why the word Vayu has to come to neutralize Shema. So no, Vayu, Shema also has to be read in Lashon HaKodesh only, like the rest of the Torah. The Gemara says, okay, let's look to the Rabbanan now. Lema Kesavi Rabbanan, maybe the Rabbanan hold that the Kol HaTorah Kula B'Lashon HaKodesh Nemra, the entire Torah could only be read in Lashon HaKodesh. Because the Isaka Daitech B'Cholashon Nemra, if you thought that the whole Torah can be read in L'Cholashon, so Lamli L'Michtav Shema, why do you have to single out Shema to say Shema also can be read B'Cholashon? The rest of the Torah, why Shema should be any different? You should say, so therefore, since he says that Shema is singled out by the word Shema to any language you understand, must indicate that the rest of the Torah could only be read in Lashon HaKodesh. Whereas it's not true here either. Because it's Tzirich Saka Daitech, I mean, you would have thought, Vayu Krebi, you would think maybe you should read the word Vayu like Rebbe, Kasrachwana Shema, meaning the rest of the Torah in Echanami can be read in any language. Then, but since it says Vayu by Shema, you would think maybe Shema is different, like Rebbe understands it. Vayu means only Lashon HaKodesh. Therefore, the word Shema to come and neutralize the drush of Vayu to teach me that Shema also can be read in any language, just like the rest of the Torah. Okay, so that ends the discussion about how we know Shema must be read in the proper order. And then the third application was Shema. I'm sorry, Tefillah. How do we know Tefillah Minon? How do we know Tefillah must be read or said in the proper order? The Tanya, the Braitza tells us that Shimon HaPekuli, Hister Shimon Esrei Brachos Lefnei Rabban Gamliel, Al HaSeder B'Yavna, that Shimon HaPekuli was accredited with organizing and establishing the Shimon Esrei in front of Rabban Gamliel in Yavna. So we see from here that the fact that there's a Seder implies that it must be read in the proper order. So says the Gemara, Amar Rebbe Yochanan, Vamrila b'masisin tana, mev esim zekenim b'hem, kamen nevim tikkun shmon esrei brachos al Seder. So he says differently, it wasn't Rebbe Shimon ben Apakuli, rather it was the Sanhedrin, or the 120 members, and nevim among them, who were the ones who put together the order of the shmon esrei. Either way, we see from here, though, that there is a proper order that the Shmon Esrei must be said in. So Gemara now is going to go through, how do you know the order? What's the sources that they didn't just create them for no reason. They found sources to say which bracha goes when. So Gemara is going to go through one by one the source of each bracha of Shmon Esrei. Taner Rabbanan. Minayin she'omim avos. How do we know you say avos? Because Shinemar, the Patrick says, Havu l'Hashem b'nei elim. So you're supposed to give Hashem your sons of the powerful. So the sons of the powerful is a reference to the Avos. The Avos were referred to as the strong. He explains that. Rashi does not explain that, but that's what it refers to.
Okay, Kiyum HaTorah of the Mitzvot.
Uh-huh, so therefore they're called Elim. Then we know, why do we know that Minayin Shomim Gruos? How do you know that you're supposed to say Gruos, which is the second bracha? Shenemar, Havul Hashem Kavod Oz, you're supposed to give Hashem honor and strength. So that's a reference to Hashem's Gvura. Minayin Shomim Kedushos. How do you know there's a bracha about Kedusha? Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Havul Hashem Kavod Shemo, Vishach Havul Hashem Hajus Kodesh, you're supposed to mention the Kedusha that exists by Hashem. So this is how we know the source of the first three brachas. Umara lomar bina achar kedusha. So why was the fourth bracha atachonin about bina understanding? Shenemar, the pasuk says v'kedushu es kedosh Yaakov, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu had sanctified Hashem, Yaakov rather, ves Elokei Yisrael yaritzu, and Hashem had therefore he had great fear. So we see from here. So v'samech le, next to the pasuk says v'yadu soe ruach bina, and those who made a mistake in ruach, whatever that means exactly, they shall know, have some type of bina, some type of understanding. So you see here that the pasuk juxtaposes bina to kedusha. So therefore, we had bina after kedusha. Umar lomar tshuva achar bina. Why is tshuva the very next bracha after atachonin? The pasuk says next ulvavo yavin v'shav rafalo. And to his heart, he should have understanding. Vishav, and he should have tshuva, and he should have refuah. So we see tshuva comes after bina. Yihach, if that's the case, leim refuah basar the tshuva. Using this pasuk, the next one after tshuva should be refuah. But we know it's actually gal yisrael, it's gula. So why is gula go between tshuva and refuah if the pasuk doesn't have it that way? Mara says loch sagadaitach. A person wouldn't have thought otherwise. Wouldn't think to put gula smack in the middle between refuah and tshuva. Why? The pasuk tells us v'yashov el Hashem. And a person shall return and do tshuva, and Hashem shall have mercy. Vel Elokeinu ki yarbe eslach, and Hashem should have do slicha. So we see from here that slicha is supposed to go after the tshuva. So that's why slicha comes before refuah. Umay chazis da samchas aha, samach aha. So why are we using this pasuk? Why don't we use the pasuk that mentions refuah after tshuva? Why are we using the pasuk that has slicha after tshuva? Gemara says, because we have another pasuk that says, Kasav Krachrina, second pasuk tells us, Hasaleach lechol avonechi, harofe lechol tachlechi, hago mishachas achayichi. Pasuk says slicha, then it says refuah, then it says goel, tells us that slicha is supposed to go before refuah as well. So for this reason, the memra, the gula, refuah, basa, slicha, this pasuk tells us that both gula and refuah are supposed to go after slicha. Gemara says, Bahak siv vishav virafalo, but the pasuk says, but another pasuk tells us refuah is supposed to go right after tshuva. The bar says, "Hahu lav refuah de tachluim hu el refuah de slichahu." That refuah they're referring to is not refuah of a physical ailment. That's referring to of a spiritual ailment where a person is supposed to do tshuva. That's refuah referring to slicha. That even though it says refuah, it really refers to the same thing as slicha, same concept. Okay, we're doing great with time. Umar ro lomar gula b'shvius. So why the very next pasuk, the very next bracha is gula? Why is gula the seventh one, the middle one? Or not, it's not really the middle one, I guess. But why is it the seventh one? Amarava mitoch shasidim ligal b'shvius. Since in the future, Shvitiyah, which is upcoming, hopefully this should be the year we're going to get redeemed, just like in the future, we're going to be redeemed in the seventh year, lefika kaval b'shvius, therefore they felt the need to place the gula in the seventh bracha to highlight this idea of the seventh year being a significant one of gula. V'hamar mar b'shishis kalos b'shvius milchamos malatzi shvius ben David ba. But doesn't the Brisa tell us the sixth year we're going to hear all the sounds, which perhaps will mean all the wars, hopefully. And the seventh year is supposed to be all the fighting. And then I guess that's really all the wars. And the Motzei Shvi'is is supposed to be when Ben David, when Mashiach actually comes. So it's the Motzei Shvi'is, it's the eighth year that Mashiach comes. You know, the war is already the beginning process of the Gula. So yes, during the seventh year, it's called the Gula. But it's called the Gula because of the wars. It's not going to be the actual redemption until the eighth year. But this is the Aschalasa of the Gula. So this is the beginning of the Gula. Why do we feel the need to place the refuah in the eighth bracha? Since the Bris Milah is given on the eighth day, and certainly Bris Milah requires refuah, we felt the need to place refuah in the eighth bracha to highlight the connection of the number eight. Why was it the Birchas Hashan, the blessing of the year, is on the ninth bracha? Amar Rabbi Alexandria, Kenegan Mafkiyas Sharim, in corresponding to the prices of the market. The pasuk tells us that break the strength of the evil. And David said this in the ninth parak of Tehillim. So since we want Birchas Hashanah, the bracha of the year, so this is the bracha parnasa, we want the parnasa, we want things to go fairly, and since David had this bracha in the ninth parak, we felt the need to place this concept, this bracha, in the ninth bracha. Why is this next bracha after Birchas Hashanah? The bracha of gathering together all of Klai Yisrael from the Galus. The pasuk tells us, Klai Yisrael, or the mountains of Klai Yisrael, are going to sprout forward, and give off branches, and pachem titnu, give branches, ufiryachem tisu, and it's going to give birth, give fruit. L'am Yisrael, give fruit to the people, kervu lavo, those who are coming close. So v'chem shenikpatzu galios nasu din bersham. So wait, so why does the pasuk come next, afterwards? Because after all the fruit are available, they're going to bring in all Klai Yisrael to eat from the fruit of the land. And then the next pasuk, v'chem shenikpatzu galios nasu din bersham. Once all of Klai Yisrael comes from the galos, there's going to be great judgment for the din on Rasham. Shenemar v'ashivu yodi alayach v'etrof kabor sigayach. I'm going to put my hand on top of you, and I'm going to purge away your dross as with the eye. I'm not sure exactly what those references, but I'm going to judge the way I used to judge. So you see, after I gather everybody together, I'm going to restore the judgment. Now, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives judgment to the Sham, Kal HaPoshim, all the transgressors are going to be wiped out. V'chol Zedim Imam, and all the intentional violators are going to be wiped out with them. Shenemar v'shever poshim v'chatam yachlav yichlu. And together I'm going to destroy the poshim and the chatam, the sinners, all together in one. How are you doing with time?
Wow.
You made it? So let's, should we stop here? Yeah? Okay, so let's, yeah, we did a good job. Okay.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, okay.